So, Rabotai, what we're studying today is the sugya of Shelo Lishma and the Mishnah at the beginning of Zvachim. If the carbon was shekt in Shelo Lishma, for example, the case of an old Lashem Shlomim, whatever the case may be, then we need to replace that carbon. That's what the Mishnah says. And Reish Lakish raises the following objection on Daf Hey Amud Aleph. You'll see it more or less in the middle of the page. And he says, Mimonafshach, Im Ksherim Heim Yiratzu. If Shelo Lishma doesn't passel the carbon, then there's Ritzui carbon, and there's no purpose and no reason why we would bring a replacement carbon. Because the chiyuv is to achieve a ritzui carbon. That's what he accepted upon himself, and he achieved the ritzui carbon. V'im ein meratzin, if we're saying that Shelo Lishma nullifies the ritzui, then lama boy. What's the purpose of being makriv this first carbon? Once, let's say, for example, the Shechita with Shelo Lishma. If we're saying there's no Ritzui, then what's it worth? That's Reish Lakish's question. Oh, Rabbi Lazar, there's a question near the Gears with Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Eliezer, and he responds to Reish Lakish, and he says, no, there's no stira from the fact that you say that the carbon is kosher, and therefore you assume that there's Ritzui. Obviously, if he's bringing a second carbon to replace the first carbon, there is no ritzui. So you're asking me, so why do we bring the first carbon? He says, there is such a thing as a carbon without ritzui. Matzinu, b'boyel yachar misa. So if the father was mafresh a carbon during his lifetime, then he died, then there's an obligation to bring that carbon. Shem ksherim v'ei maratzim. There's no ritzui on behalf of a mess. That was the answer of Rabbi Eliezer to Reish Lakish. So that's one Gemara on Daf Hey Amud Aleph. Then we fast forward to Daf Vav Amud Aleph, and there the Gemara, about 10 lines from the top, says Ibailahu. Again, analyzing our Mishnah of Shelo Lishma, Kippur Al Mashabo Olo Kippur. Was there a kapara? Was there not a kapara? So Rav Sheshet says, Mistabra the low kippur. I'll prove to you that there was no kapara achieved by this carbon that was brought Shelo Lishma. The is al kedai the kippur. Sheni lama huba. Why replace the first carbon with the second carbon if he already achieved his kapara with the first carbon? Then Rav Sheshes continues and he says, Vela my low kippru. Are you telling me that in the first carbon that was Shelo Lishma he did not achieve kapara? Is lama hu karet? So why are you bringing this carbon? Fine. That's what we have here. And again, there's a striking similarity which we'll see in Tosfos between Reish Lakish's question on our Mishnah and Rav Sheshes's question. But before we get to that, let's take a look at Tosfos on Daf Hey Amud Aleph in the Sugya Reish Lakish. Dibra Maskil Hagor. And Tosfos raises the following question. He says, I don't understand the equation between, in Rabbi Eliezer's frame of reference as a response to Reish Lakish's question, between a carbon that's bali achar misa in the case of Shelo Lishma. He says, mi dami, hani in the case of Shelo Lishma, lo olu. The Mishnah says explicitly that the Bailim did not fulfill their obligation, they have to replace it with a second carbon. And In this case, if it's lo alu, Reish Lakish rightfully objects and he says, so why are you bringing the carbon? There's no purpose to bring a carbon if it's not ol l'shem b'ilin. Abel b'liachar misa, he's saying, although in the case of liachar misa, the b'ilin are gone already, but olu l'gamri l'shem chova. Now again, this concept of olu l'bailam l'shem chova that Tosus presents in the Havamin is somewhat complex, to say the least. Because again, you know, you're talking about a person who's gone, so it's difficult to speak about Misa and at the same breath say there's a chiyuv. But Tosus says there's a chiyuv somehow inherent in the karbon, because once the baal, the father before he died, was mafresh the karbon, then it's an obligation to bring this carbon. Again, who's going to pick up that obligation? The Yarshim. But the obligation is inherent in the carbon. And Tosus even says it's an achrayus, a responsibility to fulfill that obligation. And therefore, the carbon is ol legamri l'shem chova. Those are the key words in Tosus that we want to underline. It's ol legamri l'shem chova. Masha'enkin, in the case of Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish has a very strong and powerful argument and objection to our Mishnah. How can you bring this carbon if it's not Ola L'Bailam L'Shem Chov? As I state in the Mishnah, it's not Ola L'Bailam L'Shem Chov. And Tosus says the following, V'yesh Lomar, D'mikolokom Damya K'tzas La'adod. Tosus says there is an element of equation between the case of Liachar Misa and the case of Shlo L'Shma. Le'inyan, because the case of Liachar Misa, the Ein Meratzin Ritzui Gomur, because you have to admit that although the carbon has to be brought Liachar Misa, and Rabbi Liz is right about that, nobody questions that premise, but yet, it's not a Ritzui Gomur. You can't talk about a Ritzui Gomur on behalf of a mess. The Ein Kapor Lemes. And therefore, he says that to the extent to which you have to admit to me, you have to confess that there's not a Ritzui Gomur in the case of Liachar Misa, and yet the carbon is brought, that's a major breakthrough. That Rabbi Eliezer is going to use to prove that there is such a thing as a carbon without a Ritzui Gomur. I'm just translating Tosus. And then Tosus goes on and says, Vilav bar chiyuvahu. Now watch the way Tosus moves over here. In one breath, he says, Vilav bar chiyuvahu. He means that the person is dead. You can't talk about a chiyuv on a dead person. But then in the same breath, he says, El shenischayev mechayim. But there is a chiyuv. In other words, he's not willing to backtrack totally from his original premise on the third line of the Tosus when he says, Olu legamri l'shem chova. He admits that there is a chova here. But it's an ischayev b'chayev and lav bar chiyuv liachar misa. It's a very complicated structure here in Tosfos. And he says, what's the equation, Rabbi Eliezer, between liachar misa and shinui kodesh, which means shalol l'shma? He says, in the case of shinui kodesh, bailin nami. Ein ritzui, in the case of or bailim, again, we leave out the word bailim for now, but in the case of shini kodesh, nami ein ritzui gomor. So he says that in both cases, there's no ritzui. Both in the case of liachar misa, because ein kapar lames, and in the case of shlo l'shma, because the Gemara, the Mishnah says that lo ol l'bayim l'shem chov. Lo ol l'bayim l'shem chov means he didn't achieve his ritzui. So let's ask two questions on this Tosfos. Question number one on the Teretz of Tosfos is that L'chora, Rabbi Eliezer didn't really make a dent in Reish Lakish's question. Reish Lakish's objection to the Mishnah was that we never found a karma without Ritzu. So in the case of a Shalol Lishma, where he hasn't achieved Ritzui, because the Bailam it says Lo Ol L'Shem Chova, then what's the point to bring the carbon? Have we found the carbon without Ritzui? And the answer of Rabbi Eliezer is, yes, I found the carbon without Ritzui, but Tosus says that in a carbon Liachar Misa there is Ritzui. Albeit, it's not a Ritzui Gomur, because Ein Kapor L'Mes, but there is an element of Ritzui. Where's the element of Ritzu in the case of Shalol Lishma? Where you have to replace the karma. The fact that you have to replace the karma means there was no Ritzu. In the case of Liach HaMisa, he achieves Ritzu. And furthermore, Tosa seems to, as we pointed out, contradict himself. In the Habamim, he says, in the case of Rabbi Eliezer Liach HaMisa, he says, Olu Lagamri L'Shem Chova. In the Teretz, he says, as far as that chov is nischayev michayev, but yet lav bar chiyuv havahu. It's not a bar chiyuv havahu. So, what does it mean nischayev michayev? And obviously, the yarshim have no choice in the matter. We're not going to knock on the door and say, well, are you in the mood to bring this karbon? Yes or no? It's not a question of voluntary. So obviously there is a chiyuv. And Tosis never retracts, at least not completely, his original position that there is a chiyuv.
There's no chiyuv, but there's a chova.
Right, there's no chiyuv on the bailim, but there's a chov in the karbon, that the karbon has to be brought. So it's not similar to the case of Shalol Lishma, because in the case of Shalol Lishma, is lo ol bailim l'shem chova, so why are you bringing the karbon? Because you're always back to Reish Lakish's question. Then Tosis asks another kash. This is on Daf Vav in the Sugya Rav Sheshes, and Tosis says, "Elamai lo kipru." The argument of Rav Sheshes is that if there was no kapara in the case of Shalol Lishma, lama hu karev. So Tosis says, "Tzarech iun dahainu kusha Reish Lakish." Tosis is saying that Rav Sheshes really is just repeating the same old question of Reish Lakish. That was the question of Reish Lakish. Now this is a little bit strange, this Tosis, because when you're very careful about reading both Reish Lakish and Rav Sheshes, Reish Lakish on Daf Hey and Rav Sheshes on Daf Vav, you'll notice a difference between the two formulations. I'm not sure exactly the significance of it, but it's definitely a different formulation. In the case of Reish Lakish, he's trying to find a karbon that has no ritzui element to it. Is there such a thing? And that bothers Reish Lakish, because in the case of Shlo Lishma, Lo Ol Levayim L'Shem Chovah, there's no ritzui. Why are you bringing the karbon? Lama hu karev. Rav Sheshes is asking a different question. He's asking a question about kapara. I'll show this to you for a moment. If you have this photocopy that I gave you, on page Nun Zion, the end of the paragraph Vehine, again, as you pointed out to me very well, there are three different paragraphs that start with the word Vehine, but we're looking at the first one. And he says, Tzarech biur. He says, I don't understand what bothers Tosis here on Daf Vav. Because if you go back to Tosis on Daf Hey, Tosis established clearly that the question of Reish Lakish was that there's no such thing as a karma without Ritzu. And he says the following. Just one second. I'm sorry. What I meant to say was the paragraph that starts the Ayin Od. Maybe we'll come back to the paragraph in just a minute, but since I'm hot on this point, I wanted to make this point. Towards the end of the paragraph, the Ayin Od, he says, V'af zet tzarech biur. He says, I don't understand Tosis's, Tosis identifies Reish Lakish and Rav Sheshes at the same kasha. Reish Lakish hiksha, what was bothering Reish Lakish? Diem Ritza, if the first karbon was Maratza, then why is he bringing the second karbon? Hech matzinu karbon sheba below Ritzu. The second karbon has no Ritzu to it. And if on the other hand, the first karbon had no Ritzu to it, why are we bringing the first karbon? Basically, Reish Lakish's is premise, his postulate is no Ritzu, no karbon. Vahacha, but here Rav Sheshes, on the Vav, is asking karbon she'eno mechaper lama hu karev. He's not emphasizing the Ritzuya element. The Ritzuya means you have an obligation to bring a carbon. And what do you achieve by that carbon? How do you fulfill your obligation through Ritzuya? So Reish Lakish says, okay, if every carbon is geared or directed towards the goal of Ritzuya, then in this case, where the Mishnah says, lo olav ha'il m'shem chov, there is no Ritzuya, why are you bringing the carbon? Rav Sheshes is asking a different question. Rav Sheshes says the following: the Isal Gedaita Kipru Sheni Lava Huba, meaning he already achieved his kapara with the first carbon. Then why is he bringing a second carbon? He's not touching on the issue of Yatza Bailum Yidei Chovasam. Reish Lakish is wondering if the purpose of his karmon is to be Mekayim his chova, and his chova is identical with what? How do you achieve a fulfillment of your chova with what?
Ritzui.
So then there's no point in this karmon without fulfilling your obligation. Rav Sheshes is asking a different question. Rav Sheshes is asking that every karmon has to be a mechaper. And if we're going to assume that he already achieved his kapara with the first karmon, then the second carbon, lava hu karev, means it's a carbon without kapara. There's no such thing as a carbon without kapara. So again, Rabbi Osei, let me just put this out on the table. Reish Lakish's question is different than Rav Sheshes's question, l'chor, and Tosus identifies them. Reish Lakish is asking, why have you obligated him in the second carbon? It must be that he did not fulfill his chiyuv with the first carbon. Everybody with me on that? Okay, so lo'ol l'bayim l'shem chova means he did not achieve his goal, fulfill his responsibility with the first carbon. Reish Lakish understood that what that meant was that the shalol l'shma cancels the ritzuy of the carbon. So Reish Lakish is saying, well, once you cancel the reach of the karma, why are you bringing the karma? That's not the same question as Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes is telling us that, again, that if he achieves kapara through the first karma, then why are you bringing the second karma? That's going to be a karma without kapara. And a carbon has to have kapara. You hear the difference between the two questions? I'm going to say it one more time.
So if she's just saying you can have ritzui without kapara?
Maybe yes, maybe no. That I don't know your feeling.
Well, if the answer is no, then there's no nafkamin between the two questions.
Right. I'm not, again, Rabosei, we're
just
not
changing words, but you're not changing meaning.
No. Wait one second, Rabosei. You'll attack me in a minute. But before you attack me, you know, let me just explain what I think he's saying over here. And then you'll attack me.
Okay.
No, it's good. I'm getting it from all sides. You're roughing me up. It's good. But before you rough me up, let me just make sure that the question is clear. Tosus identifies two Gemaras. You know, one Sugya of Reish Lakish and one Rav Sheshes. Reish Lakish is asking a different question than Rav Sheshes, because what's bothering Reish Lakish? The purpose of a carbon is to fulfill a chova, correct? If you need a chair, I have an extra chair here. Okay? Thank you so much. Tzvi, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. Good to see you, Tzvi. Baruch Reish Lakish identifies l'shem chova with l'shem ritzu. That's the premise of
Of
Reish Lakish, and that's how Tosfos interprets the Kasha of Reish Lakish, correct? And Rav Yochanan, and excuse me, Rav Eliezer is going to indeed respond that if you're telling me that the purpose of a karbon or what justifies a karbon is to fulfill the chova, and therefore Reish Lakish says that in the first carbon that was Shalom Lishma, you don't fulfill your chova, as the Mishnah says, and therefore there's no purpose of the carbon. So Rabbi Eliezer responds that in the case of the Achar Misa, there is no chova, and yet we bring the carbon. So you see that your essential question, Reish Lakish, your premise that, well, do I bring the carbon or do I not? It depends if there's a chova, and if there's no chova, which according to Reish Lakish, since in the case of Shelo Lishma, there cannot be a chova in the first karbon because there's no ritzui karbon, and the Mishnah says lo al lebayim l'shem chova. How could you bring a karbon without a chova? And that, according to Tosis, is the chiddush of Rabbi Eliezer, that liachar misa there is no chova, and yet we bring the karbon. So you see, you could have a karbon without a chova. That's the dialogue between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Eliezer and Daf Hei. Then we get to Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes wants to know, in the case of Shelo Lishmo, was there a kaparas hakarbon? And Reish Lakish and Rav Sheshes argues, if there was a kaparas hakarbon, then there's no point to bring the second karbon because the second karbon doesn't have a kapara element to it. So that Reish Lakish and Rav Sheshes are asking two different questions. Reish Lakish wants to know, is there such a thing as being makir of a karbon which has no purpose to it, because every karbon is justified by the kiyum chovaso, if you will, and a kiyum chovaso, the Mishnah establishes, is completely undermined and nulled and void by the fact that the karbon was brought what? Shelo Lishma. And therefore, why you bring a karbon without a chova to it? I mean, then we'll see Tosfos is going to ask about a karbon in the double. We'll get to that kash of Tosfos, but before we get to that kash of Tosfos, to understand what irks Reish Lakish is that he can't tolerate bringing a karbon which has no element of chova to it. And Rabbi Eliezer says, I'll bring you a precedent. I'm going to bring you a karbon where there's no element of chova to it. And that's what Tosfos emphasizes over here when he explains Rabbi Eliezer, and he says that what's the language over here in his Teretz? He says, "Pili achar misa v'elo bailin." Tosfos says, "Well, where is it? Where is it? Oh yeah, here it is. I'm sorry." Lav bar chiyuv havahu. Okay, do we have that? That's Tosfos on Daf Hei Amud Aleph. Let's just get the Tosfos Daf Hei Amud Aleph, and it's about the middle of Tosfos. That the answer, the response of Rabbi Eliezer says Tosfos is that the case of liachar misa is lav bar chiyuv havahu. So you have a karma that's being brought without a chiyuv havah. That's the dialogue back and forth between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Eliezer. In the case of Rav Sheshes, he wants to know, are you bringing a karbon without a kapara? If he was mechaper on the first karbon, that's one side in Rav Sheshes, then the second karbon, by definition, has no kapara to it. So what Reish Lakish is talking about is, how can you be makar of a karbon that has no chiyuv karbon? Yeah, he's... Reish Lakish is emphasizing the dimension of the Chovas Bailin. Rav Sheshes is focused on the carbon itself. What is the essence of a carbon? Every carbon, without exception, kapara. If there's no kapara, then there's no carbon. If that be the case, if he achieved kapara on that side in Rav Sheshes with the first carbon, then why are you bringing a second carbon that has no kapara? He already has his kapara. So again, the difference is between Reish Lakish and Rav Sheshes, like if I read the language of the Sefer here, is he saying that Reish Lakish wants to understand what's the purpose of bringing a karbon without a chova? In other words, Reish Lakish is asking a question that analyzes the bialim. You know, every karbon, forget about the karbon itself, but what comes even before the karbon? What's the introduction to every karbon?
An obligation,
exactly. And now you're telling me that I'm going to go ahead after the Shechita Shelo Lishma, and I'm going to bring this karbon with Kabbalah Zadam and Alot Zadam and Zrika Zadam, even though there's no obligation. How does Reish Lakish know there's no obligation? Because the Mishnah says, "Lo al lebayim l'shem chova." So why bring a karbon if there's no obligation? Reish Lakish is not focused on the $64,000 question, the existential question of what is a karbon all about. Reish Lakish is saying, why are you bringing a carbon if there's no chova? Because the entire push or impetus to bring a carbon is that there's an obligation to bring the carbon. Here the Mishnah says clearly there's no obligation to bring this carbon. Again, he has the obligation to give the to bring the second carbon, the replacement carbon, but not the first carbon. The first carbon is not going to make a dent as far as his obligation is concerned. So why you bring a carbon without obligation? There's no motivation to bring the carbon. Do you follow? Rav Sheshes on Daf Vav is asking a totally different question. He's asking a question about what?
The outcome.
About the essence of a carbon. What is the existential purpose of a carbon, so to speak? And the carbon itself has to have an element of kapara. Without kapara, so you've already achieved kapara, the first carbon, and now you bring a second carbon. The second carbon would be totally devoid of any kapara element. So why you bring the carbon? And that's where Rabbi Eliezer comes up and he would say what? That even though ain kapara l'meisim, nevertheless after the misa of the bailim, we're going to bring another carbon. And that's pretty mind-boggling. You're going to bring a carbon without a kapara element. You know, maybe the answer to that is that there's a kapara for the arshim. I don't know. We have to check that possibility.
What's enough community between? Just trying to say, does Rav Sheshes tolerate a carbon without a chiyuv?
Again, I'm not saying there's enough community. I'm not trying to make a machlokas here between Reish Lakish and Rav Sheshes. I'm just saying the lush of the Tosis, look at the language. Sorachiyuv, the hainu kusha the Reish Lakish. It's not really so. In other words, let's just set the goals for today. I mean, again, we have a lot of goals for today, and I don't know how many of them we'll achieve. This has really been, at some point I thought maybe I'm pushing you too hard on the, but once we started, you got to finish this sugya. And this is a fundamental sugya because it touches on so many of the principles of kachim, how they operate. So the goal here is to reinterpret Tosfos and in effect suggest a different understanding that Tosfos had in Reish Lakish. And if we can come up with a different alternative understanding of Reish Lakish, which is going to come up here on page Nun Tes, then we can identify Reish Lakish with Rav Sheshes. Joel, did you want to say
something? I'm happy.
All right. Hopefully we'll be happier as we go along. But
Is in the dog?
An effort in motion. What's the phrase?
A work in progress.
Yeah, work in progress.
Can I clarify something?
Carbon Nedava is a chiyuv?
No. We're going to get to carbon Nedava too.
So there is.
It's a funny kind of thing. If you're telling me, Reish Lakish, that there's no such thing as a carbon without us being motivated for the carbon, i.e. through a chiyuv. For a carbon, how do you explain Nedava? And apparently Reish Lakish is going to say that in Nedava, he accepts upon himself to bring the Nedava, and what is going to determine whether he fulfills his Nedava or not? The answer is what? Ritzui. So therefore, if he brings the carbon Nedava through the process of all four avodos, the hakrovas hakarbon, he's going to achieve what? He's going to achieve a Ritzui. Here in this case, Reish Lakish would counter-argue that he took upon himself a chova. Or maybe the Torah imposed the chov on him. Let's say if he had a chait, that was in the case of Karma Chattos. But yet, he's not going to achieve any reason because the Mishnah says, all the Bible Shem Chov. So why bothering being makar with the carbon? I can justify perhaps the akrov of a carbon nedava because the carbon nedava, once he accepts upon himself to bring a carbon nedava, right, he says, harezu, whatever he says, harezu ola or shlomim, whatever he says, then he's going to achieve through this Hakrova a Ritzui. And that's it, Gandik. We can close the circle. But in the case of our Mishnah, you're going ahead and you're bringing a carbon without any chiyuv, and Reish Lakish insists that that's a carbon that's devoid of any Ritzui. So why bother with that carbon?
Rabbi, can I just ask you one question to clarify something here? When Reish Lakish asked,
I can't stop you, but. Okay. I, again, if it were up to me, I would say let's get into the sugya before we ask questions.
It's a definitional thing. I don't understand. According to Reish Lakish, when he's dealing with Ritzui, is he saying that if there's no Ritzui on the original carbon, there could still be a Ritzui on the second carbon?
Sure, that's for sure. There was no Shalom Lishma on the second carbon. In other words, the Kohen messed up on the first round. He didn't mess up on the second round.
But who's bringing this? Who's bringing this?
He has to bring it because he accepted upon himself a chiyuv, and there was no reason in the first carbon. Now the Kohen is going to bring on his behalf a replacement carbon. Hopefully he'll get it right this time. It'll be the Shema, and then he'll achieve Ritzu. Once he achieves Ritzu, he's Mekayim his Chola. The problem of Reish Lakish is, what about the first carbon? See, if the first carbon was gone and buried, okay, Reish Lakish would have nothing to object about. But the problem is that we're talking about a psul in what? The Mishnah.
Shema.
Nisbuchu, right? Well, but where was the psul? In which avodah?
In the Shechita.
In the Shechita. And the Mishnah says the carbon is kosher. What does that mean?
You keep going with it.
Keep going. You were going to finish that krova. Well, why? Why are you going to finish that krova? There's no chiv, there's no ritzui. Garnished. It's not worth the dawn.
But Reish Lakish is not addressing at all that pile of mace.
It's too different here.
Because that's because Reish Lakish is unaware of the din of mesu bayim. I'm saying it again in a very, you know, right now in a very, open gas, you know what I'm saying? You know, maybe we'll fine-tune it as we go along. But right now, Reish Lakish is not operating within the realm of Mesu Abaylu.
Okay.
Or alternatively, maybe Reish Lakish understood the way it sounds like in at least in the Havamina Tosis, that even in the case of Mesu Bailam, somehow it's Olu Abailam L'Shem Chova. That's the way Tosis understood in his cash. Again, if you read the words,
even if you come up with something like that, you know, but that would make sense with the first carbon. But it could never explain how the second carbon would be.
Well, which case are you talking about? Shalom Shema or Mesu Bailam?
Well, we're talking about Mesu Bailam.
Mesu Bailam is only one carbon. Yeah. Well, what do you mean two carbons?
If something happened to the first carbon.
Oh, you're coming up with the new Eichet Timsa.
No, okay. it's
you want to know what happens if the carbon got tummy or lost? Or
whatever. There was a low response in some part.
And then the Bailam died?
Yeah.
Well, that might be different. I don't know. We're talking about a case where this particular carbon has a chiyuv in it. Again, Tosfos vacillates back and forth. That's called shibud d'oraisa. It's called achrayus, even if you hold shibud lav d'oraisa. Again, that's a sugya that I won't even be able to touch upon until we're finished with this sugya. But again, if that first carbon is lost or gone, it died, it became tummy or whatever, it became puzzle, then we're not talking about that case.
So the Yorshim did not have a chiyuv.
No, the chiyuv of the Yorshim is somehow inherent in the carbon. Okay. You know, because the carbon itself was separated. Was designated by the violin during his lifetime. Okay, then?
See, except they're two completely different dinim here. They're two different issues entirely.
Who? Reish Lakish and Rav Sheshes, you mean? Or even, what are we talking about?
Even in Reish Lakish. You have a question of Ritzui, which is on the Baal. And because there is no, not in the Shema, so there's no Ritzui. But that doesn't affect the Chova for him to continue with the Avodah. So that's a din in the Chavetz itself.
Well, wait a second, Rabbi. Eventually, Reish Lakish himself is going to answer this question, and he's going to say that every time that you accept upon yourself a chov, there's also a neder. And from the Pasha of neder, but we're not up to that yet. You know, that's going to be Reish Lakish's, you know, revelation, but we don't know that revelation. Okay. In fact, Reish Lakish is going to base it on the Drash of the Apostle. So we don't know that yet. Okay, fine. Now, in the paragraph Vihine, again, the first Vihine at the end, he says the following. Just give me a minute here let's start from the word ubitosvis, which is about line 6 or so. That'll just back, we'll backtrack a little bit. Ubitosish on Hikshu Tema. Kama Korbanos on the Misnadev Umevi Zecher Ze Miyad Afal Pisha Kiper Harishon Shinasa Lishmo. So Tosis in his Kasha now postulates that even a carbon Dova has an element of Kapara to it. So when, you know, you might ask, what is he coming to be mechaper on? It's a carbon and dova. He didn't violate any sin. So, you know, you talk about machshavas, and you talk about, you know, bittul esei, whatever it might be. But every time that a person takes upon himself a carbon and dova, he has an element of kapara in the nedava. But what happens if he brings a second carbon nedava, asks Tosfos, immediately on the heels of the first carbon nedava? He didn't even have a chance, so to speak, between the first carbon and the second carbon to do any sort of avera. He's achieved his kapara with the first carbon, and yet he can take upon himself a carbon nedava and immediately bring a second carbon nedava. V'yesh lomar, Tosfos says that, again, in shedding light on the kasha of Rav Sheshes, because again, Rav Sheshes is asking, how could you bring a carbon without kapara? Meaning, if the first carbon, in the case of Shalom Shema, achieved kapara, what's the purpose of the second carbon? The Tosfos says, yesh lomar deparich, sheni loma chayev lahavi. So now Tosfos seems to be setting us on a different path, on a different road, so to speak. And he's saying that yes, even Reish Lakish, even Rav Sheshes could tolerate a kapara without a kapara in the case where he brings an adobe right after an adobe. The second adobe that he's going to bring has no kapara element to it. He doesn't have anything for which he has to be miskapit. So what was Rav Sheshes' kasha? Rav Sheshes' kasha was the Mishnah establishes that he has a chiyuv karbon to replace the first karbon, and now we're holding that he was already miskapur with the first karbon. Where do we find a chiyuv karbon to bring a karbon without kapara? Maybe he's implying the sugi of Doron. You remember that sugi of Doron where you sometimes bring a karbon and dava as a gift to the Ribbono Shel Olam after having the opportunity of bringing a kapara. So every kapara means you're standing in judgment, and Hashem at the end of the day accepted your karbon and therefore he vindicated you. So now you bring a doron to the king, you bring a gift to the king. So that you could have such a thing. So man is very excited, he brings a whole series of karbonos, one after the other, each one is in a dova, that we can accept. But here in our Mishnah, the Mishnah says he's chayav to bring the second, the replacement karbon, even though he's already achieved the kapara in the first karbon. But he says, tzarech bir lefi pirshat Tosfos da kusha hoysam mai chayav lahavi es hasheni. If you're asking the question, why is he chayav to bring the second karbon? Hakevan de harishon eno meratza lechovaso. He's saying, what kind of kash is Rav Sheshes asking? Rav Sheshes is saying, once he was mechaper in the first carbon, why are you obligated to bring the second carbon? The Mishnah answers that question. The Mishnah says that lo alu lebailu l'shem chova. So you can have a kapara. So zayna zoy, I'll give you the kapara on a silver platter. The Mishnah says, afal pichen, you weren't yotze your chova with this carbon. A carbon to be yotze your chova, to all the shem chova, has to have a lishma. And if it doesn't have a hakrova lishma, you have not fulfilled your obligation. So what's bothering Rav Sheshes? Well, he already was miskapa with the first carbon. The Mishnah says, but it's lo lishma. And if it's lo lishma, I'll grant you the kapara shkoyach. You got a kapara. But still, lo alu l'bayil v'shem chova. So he hasn't fulfilled his obligation. And Rabbi Sachnowitz pointed out before that there's a difference between these two elements of the carbon. There's one element of the carbon that you talk about the carbon. There's another element in the bialim as to whether he fulfilled his obligation. So even if I grant you that with the first carbon, he has a kapara, he's achieved a kapara, but he still has an obligation to bring a carbon that's a perfect sholem and kosher legamri. It's got to be kosher lechatchil lemahadrin. And this was not kosher lechatchil lemahadrin because it was shalol lishma. And therefore, you haven't yet fulfilled your obligation. Bring a carbon that's lishma. You achieved kapara in the first carbon, so what? The Mishnah says, lo'ol l'bailim l'shem chovah. So you still have a chovah to bring the second carbon.
How did he can conceive that something can give a kapara when it's not all l'bailim?
Because there are two dimensions to my commitment to bring a carbon. One is to achieve kapara, and the other is to fulfill whatever the Torah requires me to fulfill.
What does that mean?
In other words, the Torah has certain requirements, has certain standards, and if you have to live up to those standards. If you don't live up to the standards, you have not fulfilled your obligation. It's like, what shall I say, I can take upon myself a neder, and my neder is to do not just this, but also that. even though as far as the halacha, the law is concerned, I can fulfill whatever I have to fulfill with that, why do we add something else? But he took upon himself something extra. In the case of a karban, even if I grant you that the karban is mechaper, you still have a chovas bialin. But again, Alan, read the Gemara. The Gemara says, "V'yimtim to lomar alu lebailu l'shem kapara." And in the same breath, what does the Mishnah say? That even though it was a cup, again, I'm reading. Let's read the Gemara and splice it into the Mishnah. The Gemara says that the first karban was mechaper. But the Gemara is not canceling the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Lo ol b'ayom l'shem chov." So, according to that side of the Gemara, that the shalol l'shma is a kapara, you can't deny though that he has to bring a second karma because of the chov. So, according to Tosis, that the entire problem of Rav Sheshes was that there's no such thing as a karma without kapara. Well, I'll prove to you, says Tosis, that there is a karma without kapara. Namely, what? When he brings two nedavas, one after the other. So there is a kapara, there is a karma without kapara. No, that wasn't bothering Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes understood very well you can have a kapara, you can have a karma without a kapara. But Rav Sheshes didn't understand, if you've already achieved your kapara, why are you obligated to bring a second karma? So the Rosh Hashanah is asking, what do you mean, why are you obligating to bring the second karma? The Mishnah says that in the case of Shalom Lishma, you did not fulfill your obligation. The Gemara is aware of that. Rav Sheshes can't deny the Mishnah.
So why you're chayiv to bring something because you didn't fulfill your chiyuv?
Correct.
That chiyuv is set in stone. That chiyuv.
The Torah is going to set the standards for that chiyuv. What you have to do, what avodos have to be brought, and what machshavas have to be brought, and what dam has to be spritzed, and where it's going to be put. All these dinim are set by the Torah. These are not rabbinic conventions, these are doraisas that tell you how do you fulfill your chovah. The Mishnah at the beginning of Zvachim establishes that in order to fulfill your chovah, you need lishma. You need lishma, which means that a machshava shalom lishma undoes or cancels your chiv. You know, your fulfillment of your chiv. Therefore, bring another carbon and get it right this time and make sure it's lishma. What is Rav Sheshes' kasha according to Tosis? Tosis says the entire thrust of Rav Sheshes' kasha was, why are we obligating him to bring another karban? The answer is because the karban was brought shalom lishma. The Mishnah itself says that. Very strange. Now we go to the sugya of Rav. Okay, this is another dimension of the sugya. Maybe you remember this. Rav is in Masechta Menachos on Daf Dalet. You'll see it here on the bottom right. And Rav has a new concept called a karban shebol hachshir. Take, for example, in the case of a mitzora. The mitzora has to bring a karban for hechsher in order to allow him to enter into the mikdash, to eat kachim. Says Rav, if the whole purpose of the karban is lahachshir, then in this case, if the karma was brought shalom lishma, and the Mishnah says that in that case it's not machshir him, then the karma is pasul. Why? Because the entire essence of the karma is l'shem hachshir, to be machshir him. If you don't achieve the goal of lahachshir, then the karma is pasul.
But he says there's no karma.
Forget about chova. He's saying the following, that this karban is a very unique karban. Its purpose is lahachshir. The person is a mitzora. It's the eighth day of his tzaras. He has done everything he has to do. He was tovel in mikvah, and he had matan b'haynos and al tzdik. But the Torah says he's not tar yet. In order to achieve tara, what does he need? He needs to bring his karban. The karban is coming to be machshir him for kachim for Beis HaMikdash. Says Rav, if the karban was brought shalom lishma, and therefore it's not machshir him, we have to replace the karban with a different karban. Says Rav, in this case the karban is possible. So watch what happens. The shechita of this karban, we'll call it Hashav Mitzora, was done shalom lishma. Says Rav, in such a case, drop it like a hot potato. Don't bother with Kabbalah Saddam and Zrika Saddam and finish up the Akrova. The karban is possible. The Mishnah says in the beginning of Zvachim Shalom Lishma, is kosher and we complete it. He says that's different. Here we're talking of a case where the purpose of the carbon is lahakshir. And since it doesn't achieve its goal of lahakshir, because the mitzvah is still not allowed to go into the migdash until he fulfills his obligation and brings the carbon asham nazir, asham mitzvah lishma, and it's got to be done lishma. Says Rabbi, in such a case, drop it. Don't bother going through the motions. You cannot be machir this carbon. It's a carbon possible. And Rav gives another example. He gives an example in Menachos of Minchas HaOmer. The purpose of Minchas HaOmer is to be matir the new crop. If the carbon Minchas HaOmer, the kmitzu is done shalol l'shma, says Rav, the carbon is possible. Completely possible. We're not going to go through the hakrava. Why? Because it was bala hati velo hitir. And there's a certain striking similarity between the svara of Rav and the svara of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish is saying, why are you continuing to be makir of a carbon that was brought, that the shechita was done shelo lishma? Why are you going to continue with the process? The whole purpose of the carbon was l'shem chova, in other words, to achieve the ritzui carbon so that you fulfill your chova. Now the carbon is clearly meaningless as far as your chova, so the ritzui is gone. Why do you bother bringing a carbon? The carbon also has a purpose. It's no different than Rav's problem. Rav, for some reason, is able to tolerate our Mishnah, and he's going to allow and recognize the possibility of being makriv a carbon, which already in Shechita became possible as far as the Ritzi element to be ol l'shem chova, and Rav is willing to live with that for some reason. But Rav says, if I have a carbon that's coming l'mhatir or l'hachshir, that I can't live with, then it's absolutely, absolutely possible. So that's what I want you to see here. On the bottom of the right column, going on to the left column, he says, "Hare matzino," on the top of the left. If you could underline this, "Od svar ke ein svar Reish Lakish v'hainu." This is Rav svara that if you have a carbon that's machshir, like Minchas HaOmer, which is being matir the chadash, or karbonos hechsher nazir or mitzora, we have Hashem nazir, Hashem mitzora. Sphere Leila Rav, Dim Eina Machshirin, Psul, the carbon is possible. Stop right there, throw it in the garbage. There's no reason to continue. Im Kain, Matsinu Gimel Svaris Bagamara. In other words, if we take the Gemara in Zvach Madaf He, the Gemara in Zvach Madaf Vav, the Gemara in Menachos Sadaf Dalin, the first is Reish Lakish, the second Rav Shesh, the third is Rav, put it all together, and basically, the Gemara is saying, in different ways, almost the same thing. Reish Lakish is saying that if there's no Ritzui, because the Mishnah says that after the first Avoda, which is Lo L'shma, is Lo Ol L'Bayim L'Shem Chova, is Lo M'Bayim. Why do you go ahead and not crow? Then we have Rav Sheshis, who's saying that if there's no Kapara, then why you bring the carbon? You already brought the first carbon, it was Machapir. Why you bring the second carbon? The whole purpose for carbon is Kapara, and you already achieved this Kapara. Now we have the Svar of Rav. Rav goes even a step further than Reish Lakish and Rav Sheshes. Rav is saying that if the whole purpose of the carbon is Lahakshir, and if Shalom Lishma means that it undermines the power of the carbon to be Machshir, then it's possible. Is Lachora Kulu Hava Chadadina. They're basically all three saying the same thing. Now he calls that sort of beer because I think he's wondering, why is it that the Gemara, in a sense, is operating on these different levels and different sugyas without even cross-referencing, and they're basically all making the same point over and over and over again. I just want to point out in a footnote, on my own comment, that keep in mind, Rav went a step further. Rav says, based on this far, I'm going to passel the carbon. If the Minchas Omer is not going to be Ma'at Chodosh, it's apt. If the Hashem Nazir, Hashem Mitzorah is not going to be Ma'ashe, the Nazir or the Mitzorah, then it's out. It's possible. That's it. Don't even bother dreaming about finishing that crow.
That means that Rav is saying that if he doesn't need he doesn't need a Hachshara, so whatever reason, he doesn't have to bring the carbon. It was possible.
Right. If theoretically you had a case where you would, I don't know.
Well, they died. He died.
But yeah, but if it, right, if he died, excellent. Let's say the mitzvah died, we would not bring the carbon le'achar misa. The carbon, once it's eno machshir, if it has no purpose of machshir, the carbon is possible.
There's no chovah.
Well, again, that's the point I'm trying to make here. My footnote is I don't want to say those words no chova because Rav doesn't seem to have a problem with our Mishnah, and our Mishnah seems to assume that even though, as far as chova is concerned, once you messed up in the shechita and it was shelo lishma and it's not going to be ol l'shem chova, Rav would still somehow be able to live and sleep and tolerate that you're going to be makir the karma. Because Rav admits that in the case of Shelo Lishma, the carbon is kosher, which means it's nikrav. Right. Whereas in the case of Bala Hashav Eino Machshir, Rav insists that the carbon is pasul. So, in the context of Rav, I don't want to use the word chova, because that's going to get me into deep trouble. Okay. So now he says the following. The Gemara there objects to Rav for the following reason. The Mishnah talks about Shelo Lishma at the beginning of Menachos. It's a parallel Mishnah to our Mishnah at the beginning of Zvachim. And the Mishnah gives two exceptions to the rule. The Mishnah omits the case of Minchas HaOmer. According to Rav, Minchas HaOmer would fit the exception to the rule of Shelo Lishma, because we're looking for the exception to the rule that in the case of Shelo Lishma, the carbon is possible, then the Mishnah should have mentioned Minchas HaOmer. Then the Gemara asks a second question. Let's go back to the Mishnah Zvachim. The Mishnah Zvachim tells me that which carbonos are possible if they're Shelo Lishma? Chatos and Pesach. Why did the Mishnah mention Asham Nazir and Asham Mitzorah? Because there too, if it's Shelo Lishma, and it's not machshir the nazir, machshir the mitzorah, then according to Rav Shita, the carbon is pasul. That makes it exactly equivalent to chatos and pesach. Why the Mishnah omit this? So again, let's just summarize. The Gemara objects to Rav on two counts. One, on the count of the Mishnah at the beginning of Menachos, and the Mishnah should have mentioned Minchas HaOmer as a case where Shelo Lishma pasuls the carbon. And the second objection is the Mishnah at the beginning of Zvachim, where the Mishnah deletes the cases of Asham Nozir, Asham Mitzorah, where according to Rav, the carbon, if we're Shelo Lishma, is possible for the reason of Bala Hachshir V'Eino Machshir. So one of the Talmidim of the Brisker Rav, who died Nebuch at a very young age, Yonas Elam, he says he doesn't understand the Gemara. Because the Mishnah is, whether it's the Mishnah beginning of Zvach, the Mishnah beginning of Menachos, it makes no difference, is addressing the issue of Shelo Lishma. What's the impact of Shelo Lishma? Does it passel the karma? Does it not passel the karma? Rav is introducing another element into the equation. It has nothing to do with these karbanos that we've been discussing until now, and that is there are a few, very few, exceptional, singular, unique karbanos which have an element of lahachshir, and the reason why the carbon is possible because it doesn't have the power of lahachshir. The whole justification of the kashrus of the carbon is because inherently it has within it the potential to generate a hechsher. And Rav says if there's no hechsher, the carbon is possible. But the reason it's possible is because it's not machshir. Why does the Gemara think that should be mentioned in the Mishnah? The Mishnah is talking about a case of Shelo Lishma, and as a result of Shelo Lishma, the Mishnah is not all the Bible Mishem Chova, it's Kosher, and all that discussion. But now you want to mention the case of a Minchas Omer or Asham Mitzorah, there you're talking about a whole different psul. The Sivas HaPsul, the definition of the psul and its reason is because it's Eino Lahash. Okay. There's a long discussion here about Minchas Knos with the Chazon Ish. I'm going to just skip it right now. You know, you'll learn it on your own if you like. That's up to you. But we want to pick up on Daf Nun Ches, a chiddush here in the paragraph Omnon. And in this chiddush, he wants to shed a light on the sheet of Ra. And why does the Gemara raise an objection against Rav? He wants to suggest the following. Rav's halacha, his principle, Bala Hachshir Vedo Machshir, is therefore the carbon is possible. It's not possible because it is Bala Hachshir, but rather it's possible because it's Shalom L'shma. What does that mean? It means the following. The Torah tells us which karbanos could be brought on the Mizbeach even though they Shalom L'shma. Under what conditions can you go ahead and be makriv a karban if it's Shalom L'shma? And under what conditions can you not be makriv a karban if Shalom L'shma? The Torah is setting up those conditions, those requirements, those dinim. And it's a very interesting thing. You have already a karban that's Shalom L'shma, let's say, for example, in our Mishnah, and yet the Torah says be makriv that karban. In other circumstances, in other situations, the Torah is going to say, well, if this carbon has a Shalom L'shma in it, because the Avodah was Koveh, the carbon is a Shalom L'shma, there's no Akrov. And the Torah now sets those guidelines. Under what conditions is there a Hakrova? He calls it a Torah's Hakrova in the case of Shalom L'shma. Under what conditions is there no Torah's Hakrova in the case of L'shma? And in if you notice it, he says on the second line, he says Liel Os Zion. We're looking at the paragraph that starts Omnon. You have that paragraph? So he refers you to Os Zion. And it's very interesting. In Os Zion, which I don't know if you have that in front of you, that page I didn't photocopy for you. That would be the advantage of buying this if you can afford 40 shekel. I don't know. You know, that's up to you. That was an undercut. I don't think anyone will die here for 40 shekel. I mean, it's kedai to have this safe, I can tell you. I don't get commission from that. But I do have an agia because it'll save me all the hassle of going back and forth in the safer in every 5 minutes. Because my goal is to learn this entire safer. Again, I'm not doing it to save them because I would go out of my kelim here. There's so many pieces here that are way beyond my capability. But anyway, back on Simon Zion, which is on page Ches. It's Simon Zion, O Zion, but it's on page Ches. He has a sugya which has to do with bringing a karban that was Shalom L'shma before the Zman of the Karban. And without going into all the details, it's a pretty profound sugya. It's actually at the end of Masechta Zvachim, Daf Kuf Yud Beis. The Gemara establishes that if you bring a Karban, Shalom L'shma, before the Zman of the Karban, it's considered Al Pi Din as if you brought it to Zman. And this has to do with the chiyuv for what's called shchutei chutz. In any event, what the Rashiva proves from that sugya is that the Torah sets up regulations in terms of a karban that shalom l'shma. A karban that had an avodah shalom l'shma takes on a whole new category of hakrov with different dinim. Again, I'm just giving you one case. He has many other examples where shalom l'shma generates its own dinim. It's very relevant to Karban Pesach and so forth and so on. And that you'll look on Os Zion if you have a chance. So just getting back, plugging back into Rav is saying that amongst those various different dinim that the Torah establishes to determine whether there's hakrovo or not in the case of Shalom L'shma, when does this new chapter and this new, you know, piece called Shalom L'shma with its own dinim v'akrova, when does it activate it? When does it apply? One of those dinim is that if the karban is bala hachshir v'eino machshir, then in that case Shalom L'shma has no fallback hakrova, and the karban is possible. So again, if the karban is not there for a machshir, then eino chinami Shalom L'shma generates its new this new set of regulations called Taras Hakrova in Shalol Lishma. But in the case of Shalol Lishma, when it's Bala Hashir, Rav says, then in that case, the Torah never went that extra step to allow and recognize a Taras Hakrova in the case of Shalol Lishma. And that is to answer the Jonas Ellen's question. He asked to, why is the Gemara objecting to Rav, because the Mishnah should have classified in the case of Shalol Lishma that apostle, the case of Bola Hashir, Bola Hashir, like Hashem Mitzora. After all, that's a whole different psul of Bola Hashir, Bola Hashir, so it's irrelevant to have Mishnah. The answer is, says the Rosh Yeshiva, it's not irrelevant to have Mishnah. That's exactly what the Mishnah is establishing. That in certain cases, there's a Toras HaKrova of Lishma, even though the carbon is Shalol Lishma. In other cases, there is no Toras HaKrova of Shalol Lishma. What would be the two primary examples that we know and we're very familiar with, where the Torah was not Machadish and Toras HaKrova if it was Shalol Lishma? Chatos and Pesach. Now those are well known. But now Rav is adding another carbon to the list. There's another carbon where there's a psul of Shalol Lishma that passels the carbon and tells you, freeze, don't do anything with this carbon, just throw it in the rubbish. And that's a carbon which is Bola Hashir, Vieno Machshir. But the psul itself is Shalol Lishma. The chiddush is that in many carbonos, like Shlomim and Ola and Chatos according to the Tanakhama, Asham according to the Tanakham, in those cases, the Torah was machadish that even though Shalol Lishma, there is a hakrov of the carbon. But in other cases, the Torah says, you know, let's go back to square one. If it's Shalol Lishma, there's no hakrova. And Rav adds to that list, Bala Hashir Veinu Machshir, and that should have been listed in the Mishnah together with Chatos and Pesach. That's the Gemara's question. Then the Gemara on the top left on page Nun Ches asks another kasha on Rav. Well, what's the difference between a classical carbon asham? For example, Hashem Gzelos, Hashem Me'ilos. There, if it's Shalol Lishma, the carbon is kosher. And in contrast, your two cases, Rav, of an Hashem Nazir and an Hashem Mitzora, there you're going to say that Shalol Lishma passels the carbon. So the Gemara answers, Omar Rav Yirmiyah, that's not a kash, that's an objection to Rav. Matsinu Shechile Kakosuv. This is the Gemara at the beginning of an office. Matsinu Shechile Kakosuv. Bein Mechaprim. Ubein Machshirim. The Gemara now is setting up a fundamental difference between two categories of Kodshim. There's one category called Mechaprim. And the essence and the goal of the carbon is what? Kapara. And there's another category of carbonus which is called what? Machshir. What's the goal and the essence of the carbon? Lahachshir. Mechaprim, I'm going to tell you that there is such a thing as bringing a carbon, even if it's Shalol Lishma, and even if it's not being brought for kapara purposes. And what is the basis for such a thing? The Asul Yacham Misa. We have a principle that Eina Mesa Mechaprim, and yet Yacham Misa, the Yoshim are going to bring the carbon that their father designated Michaim. You see that there's a carbon. That even though it's not Mechaprim for the violent, nevertheless we bring the carbon, but Machshirin, less Behuti Asul Yacham Misa. As Alan said before, if the Nazir or the Mitzorah would have designated his carbon Asham, and then he died, we would not bring, the Yoshim would not bring the carbon Asham, Yacham Misa. Because the whole purpose and the justification, I think it's called in Latin or in French raison d'etre. Did I pronounce that right?
I think had some for dinner.
Raison d'etre.
Yeah, had some for dinner. Okay, you must have eaten in a French restaurant, right? How do you pronounce it?
Raison d'etre.
Raison d'etre. Okay, I'm not good at pronouncing those things. But the raison d'etre of the carbon is to be machshir the asham, to be machshir the mitzora. And if he's dead, he can't be machshir the mitzora. And therefore the carbon is possible. But that has nothing to do with kapara, because in the case of a machaper, you do have a kapara liachav misa, so to speak, which means there is no kapara liachav misa, but yet we're going to bring the carbon liachav misa. And in order to demonstrate this, the Gemara Rav Yirmiyah in Menachas Daf Dalid Amud Beis quotes a Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about a Yoledes. In the case of Yoledes, she has to bring two karbonos, a chatos and an ola. And the Mishnah says, let's say she brought one or the other, and then she died, Nebuch. So the question is whether the Yorshim have to bring the other carbon. So the Mishnah establishes the fine distinction. As far as the Ola is concerned, which is what's called a carbon hamachaper, that carbon could be brought even after Misa, through the general halacha of Liachar Misa, that we said Liachar Misa, the Yorshim have to bring the carbon. And here, the purpose of the carbon Ola is to be machaper. However, if she brought the Ola during her lifetime and then she died, the Yorshim did not bring her Chatos, because the purpose of the Chatos is to be Machshir, because a Yoledes is Tmea, she can't go into the Migdash until she goes through the entire kid and caboodle, 40, 80, you know, male, female, and then she has to bring her carbon. Which carbon is the key carbon to be Machshir her, so that now she'd enter into the Migdash and eat Kodshim? That's called the carbon chatos. Well, Liachar Misa, we're not going to bring the carbon chatos. The Yorshim will not bring the chatos because the whole purpose of the carbon is a machshir. Again, if we had time, we'd have to study this in great detail, because Chazal say that the carbon chatos is because maybe she took a shvua, but she did something not right while she was in labor, you know. And if that be the case, l'chora, that's a carbon that's machaper. But technically speaking, the carbon chatos is enough to be machshir her, and the ola is a separate carbon. So if you're talking about a carbon for kapara, and only for kapara, that's going to be the ola by process of elimination, because it can't be the chatos. The chatos is machshir. So the brisker rub has a kasha. The Gemara says in Krisus that if a woman had five different births and she never brought on karbonos, then if she wants to go into the Migdash or eat Kodshim, then all she has to bring is one single carbon for one Leda. So let's say, for example, she brought a carbon chathos for the first Leda. She has four Ledos that haven't been fulfilled yet. She hasn't brought the chathos. And the Mishnah says in Krisus that she's chayev, she'll be obligated to bring the other four chatos, the other four carbonos of all Yoledes, but as soon as she brought the first carbon, she's allowed to go into the Migdash. So here, says the Brisker Rav, we have a case of four carbonos that are brought after the first, which are not machshir. In Cain, says the Brisker Rav, matzinu machshir shebola hachshir velo hichshir. The four carbonos, which are identical with the first carbon, meaning it's the same chatos yoledes, and yet those four have no power to be machshir, because she's already undergone the process of hechshir through what? Through the first carbon. Then he asks a similar question from a fascinating sugya nazir. After I saw this, I began to appreciate why the briskers like to learn nazir. I mean, if you go here to Yerushalayim, to all the briskers yeshiva, nazir is like a major part of the system of how do you say in English,
curriculum.
Yeah, the system of mesechtes that they study. Look at this beautiful sugya nazir. The Gemara wants to know about a Nazira, right? Nazirus is both a male or a female. And in the case of a woman who's married and took upon herself Nazirus, that falls under the parsha of Nidorim. And in the case of a married woman, the Baal, her husband, has the right to be Mefer her Neder. So now here's the following case. The scenario in Nazir, Daf Yutes, is a woman who took a Neder to be a Nazir and a Zira, right? And then she became Tmea. Now, if a woman becomes Tmea, like any Nazir, she has to bring a whole series of Karbanos. Those are called Karbanos of a Nazir Tame. Now what happens? She, unbeknown to her, her husband was Mefir Haneder. As I said before, the husband, in the case of married woman, has a veto power over Haneder. That's called Hafaras HaBaal, and he actually was Mefer HaNeder. So the Mishnah establishes in such a case that Mevia Chatos HaOf V'eino Mevia Olas HaOf. So the Gemara says, I don't get it. What's the difference between the two? Micah Sofa. And now the Gemara raises the following question. This is a very fundamental question about Hafaras HaBaal. Does Hafaras HaBaal work L'mafreya? It means it's okeres haneder mi'ikaro, in which case she never had a valid Nazirus. So what are you telling me? That she doesn't bring a Chatos, she doesn't bring what? A regular Karban Chatos, which is called a Chatos Ha'of in the case of a Nazir Shenitma, but rather she brings an Olas Ha'of. Why should she bring an Olas Ha'of? She's not a Nazira. The other possibility is to say that Afaras HaBaal does not retroactively remove her neder, but rather make his guys. Make his guys means from now and on, the neder is batel. So then the Gemara says, well, then when she violated her Nazirus and she was metami herself, at that point she was in fact a Nazira, despite the later Hafaras HaBaal, and therefore she should be bringing a regular carbon of Chatos Ha'of. So Tosis says that if Baal make his guys Nimtza She'Avral Nidra, since if the Baal is only making his guys from now and on, at the time that she was metami herself, she violated her neder, let's say she went into a cemetery, right, and she was in the zero, so therefore she has to bring an Olas Ha'of and an Oshan. So the Brisker Rav says that Tosus establishes that if the Baal was made for her neder, she has to bring an Asham Nazir. Now wait a second, what do you mean she has to bring an Asham Nazir? At this point in time, when she's bringing the Asham Nazir, does she need a Hechsher? Or is she allowed to go into the Mikdash, or she's not allowed to go into the Mikdash? Now, normally we say that Asham Nazir is a Machshir, that you can't go into the Mikdash until what? Till you bring the Asham. But here in this case, even if the old Baal Megas guy is, Han Naziris is terminated from now and on. So at this particular point in time, the Karban is not a Machshir. She's already allowed to go into the Mikdash because of the Hafaras HaBaal. So why does Tosfos assume that in this case she has to bring a carbon? That carbon has no element of Hechsher to it. It's not a Machshir. And we're talking about an Asham Nazir. Asham Nazir was the classical case of Rav of a carbon that's brought L'shem Hechsher. And here the Baal was already made for on the Zirus. Then the purpose of the carbon is certainly not to be Machshir. She's allowed to go into the Mikdash. Again, she has to bring an Ola Sa'of, a Chata Sa'of, that's because she violated her Naziris. But as far as the Asham, the Karban Asham, which is brought Lahakshir, for sure she doesn't need that, even if the old Baal Megas guy is. So what's fascinating to me is that on page Nun Tes, he quotes one of the Talmidim of the Brisker Rav. I don't know if anyone here is here from Brooklyn. I don't know if anyone here knows a neighborhood in Brooklyn called Bensonhurst. And I don't know if anyone here knows a yeshiva called Beis HaTalmud in Bensonhurst. So that was A, B, and C. But anyway, if you know that there's a place called Brooklyn, yay, Brooklyn. And if you know that there's a neighborhood called Bensonhurst, okay, I'm not from Bensonhurst, my mother, may she rest in peace, came from Bensonhurst. And if you know, number C, that there's a yeshiva called Beis HaTalmud, yay, then you might know that the Rosh Hashiva who established that yeshiva was Rabbi Aryeh Leib Malin, and he was a Talmud of the Brisker Rav. So it's interesting to me that here's a case of a Talmud who steps forward to answer his Rebbe's Kasha, and it's recorded in the books. The Brisker Rav left these two questions unanswered, and Rabbi Aryeh Leib Malin came forward to say the following.
This is the Shem Chola.
That even though Rav holds that that even Rav holds, meaning even Rav would confess that we recognize a carbon even without its potential, its power to be machshir, even though the carbon is classified as a carbon on machshir, in the case of Shalol Lishma, here's where Rav says that since the carbon is not capable of being machshir, it's possible. And why is that? Because the carbon was meant to be a machshir. It had the power and the potential to be a machshir, but it was brought shalol lishma, and that passes the carbon. That's not the case neither in Krisus nor in Masechta Nazir. In those two cases, the carbon continues to have the power to be machshir. just that the person, namely the Isha, she doesn't need that hechsher. So again, if the carbon is possel, it was meant to be a machshir, and you did something that removes and invalidates the carbon and robs from the carbon its power to be machshir, that's where Rav says bala hachshir below hechsher, because what you did was you generated a psul in the gufa shel carbon. Masha'ein came in the case of the Yoledes. The halacha is that with the first carbon for the first leda, she achieved her hechsher, but there was no psul, there was no problem with the other four carbonos. They are carbonos that would have had the power to be machshir, but she already achieved her hechsher. Or, for example, in the case of a woman who took a neder to be a nazira, and she was metami herself. Now she needs a carbon asham as a machshir. But lo and behold, her husband did what? He was made for the neder. Once he was made for the neder, she doesn't need the hechsher. There was no psul in the gufa shel karma. Beautiful answer, Rabbi Leibman. There's only one problem. The Gemara itself brings, thanks to me for coming, the Gemara itself brings a proof that there's a distinction between Bala Chapir Velo Kipir and Bala Hashir Velo Hichshir from the case of Yoledes. The Yoledes brought her Chatos and she died before she brought her Ola. And in such a case, the Yarshim have to bring the carbon ola on her behalf. Why? Because the answer is that an ola is fundamentally different than a chatos. The chatos is coming lahakshir, and if she didn't bring the chatos, the Yarshim are not going to bring the chatos. But in the case of an ola, the purpose of the ola is lachaper. And when it comes to kapara, we have a principle that ba lachaper velo kiper is kosher. Now, wait a second. This is, according to Rabbi Leib Malin, this Gemara makes no sense. There's no psul in the carbon of the Ola, just that she's not alive to achieve the Kapara. So what does the Gemara want to prove from there? The Gemara wants to ask a kasha on Rav and answer that Rav distinguishes between Bola Hachshir and Bola Chaper by quoting this case where the Ola is not brought after she dies by the Yarshim. There's no relevance here to that case, because that's not a case where there was a psul in the Gufa Shel Karbon. We want to know if there was a psul in Gufa Shel Karbon, like a case of Shelo Lishma, where the carbon now doesn't have the power to be Machaper, is the carbon kosher apostle. And that's where Rav came up with his distinction between Bola Hachshir and Bola Chaper. But in the case of the Yoledes, the purpose of har carbon ola might very well be lechaper, but ain't that mason mechaper? There's no possibility of bringing a kapara on behalf of mess, and therefore it's a whole different sugya. It has nothing to do with our issue of shalolishma. So again, we can differentiate in the case of shalolishma between two types of psulim, when both are chal in the karma because of shalolishma. One is the case of Machshirin, the other case is Machaprim. That we can accept. But we have to keep in mind that if a carbon has a certain purpose and it won't achieve its purpose because it cannot achieve the purpose, either because the person is not there to accept that or the person already achieved that purpose with another carbon, in such a case, the carbon is not possible. Okay. Now we get to the main paragraph of our discussion. That's Venera Levar. Okay, does everybody have it? If you do not have it, just say the word not.
Not.
Not. Okay, that's the page we're looking at. Not. Okay? But if you do not have not, that's a problem. So I'm hoping that although it's not, it is, and not. Okay. Anyway, we're going to try to tie together all the knots of the shiur. He says the following. Then we thought that the svara of Rav and the svara of Reish Lakish and the svara of Rav Sheshes is basically all the same. Whereas Reish Lakish is emphasizing the fact that the carbon has to be ol l'shem choven. If there's no ritzui, then why you bring the carbon? And Rav Sheisha says that if the carbon is coming for kapara and he's already achieved his kapara, why are you bothering with the carbon? And Rav says if the carbon is coming lahachshir and it cannot be machshir, why are you bringing the carbon? He says the following: that in order to really analyze this sugya, and Rabbi say, if I don't finish today, you'll decide. But if it's okay with you, I'd like to try to finish this to tomorrow, the day after. I'll have to photocopy for you another 2 pages. He says that there are 3 different approaches to understanding Reish Lakish's question on Daf Hey. We've presented only one, but there are in truth another 2 possibilities. So again, if you're following me in the text, we're about 10 lines down from the paragraph that starts with Nira Levayer. Any problems with that, or we're all okay?
Mm-hmm.
Good. So you'll see, Vehine Svar Dereish Lokesh Yesh Levayer Begimel Drach Chada. This is what we've been hacking over and over again. Dilomatsinu Karbon She'ein Bo Din Ritzui. Meaning the purpose of a karbon is for the bialim to fulfill their obligation to achieve a ritzui karbon. If there is no ritzui karbon, then what's the point to the karbon? We don't find any precedent, says Reish Lakish, to bring a karbon, at least not in the case of a karbon chova, and not be able to fulfill that chova, and not be able to achieve ritzui. Where do we find such a case of a karbon without ritzui? Oh, now he has a second interpretation. He says, Yesh levaris svaris Reish Lakish, the karbon shedino leratzos, the eno meratze, ze atzmo pisulo. Now he's offering a second svara to explain what Reish Lakish is bothered by in our Mishnah. And that is, let's look at the karbon. Let's define the purpose of the karbon. If the karbon was set out in its original hakdasha, when you makdish the karbon for a certain purpose, then if something went fluky and as a result it cannot achieve that purpose, that itself should passel the karbon. So again, it's not that Reish Lakish is telling me, you know, find me a precedent to a karbon that's not ola levaylim l'shem chover. That's not what, in the second possibility, that's not what bothers Reish Lakish. Okay, you'll find a case of a karbon that's not ola levaylim l'shem chover, there's no ritzu. But I want to know about the gufo shel karbon. You remember Rav Aryeh Le Malin Svara, that if the carbon itself was meant to be a machshir, then something happened that passeled the carbon and made it impossible for the carbon to be machshir, the carbon is possible. And Reish Lakish wants to apply that same logic to the ritzui that's inherent in a carbon. Every carbon has within it the potential and the designation for the purpose of generating ritzui. Now you're saying, well, he was makrivit shelo lishma, and therefore there's no ritzui. Well, that itself should passel the karbon. Here's the language of the Rosh Hashiva. He says, etzem zesha ein miskayim bo din ritzui shebo. If inherent in the karbon there's a din of ritzui, then Reish Lakish understands that din of ritzui is what justifies the karbon, the raison d'etre, right, of the karbon. And now you're telling me the karbon is robbed of its very purpose. Something went radically wrong here with this karbon, and it cannot achieve its goal, and that is because of shelo lishma. Ze gufo poslo. You see that even though the karbon had a purpose, a designation from its tchilas briyaso, tchilas hekdesho, and that purpose is now no longer achievable, the karbon is still kosher, says the Mishnah. No, the karbon should be poslo, says Reish Lakish. And that's where Rabbi Elazar responded to him, I'll show you a carbon that in its initial hakdasha, when the Baal, the father, was alive, and he had to bring a carbon chata, so he designated this carbon for his chatas, it was meant to bring a ritzui karban to be olu levayel l'shem chovas. But now it's liachar misa, and if it's liachar misa, then the karban is not coming to fulfill the chiyuv of the violin. That's too late. The violin are gone. There's no chiyuv, and yet the karban is brought. So you see clearly, chazinon. The fact that the carbon has now been robbed of its potential, its power to be maratza, does not invalidate the carbon, doesn't generate a psul in the carbon. That was Rabbi Eliezer's answer to Reish Lakish. Because Reish Lakish didn't understand how you can tell me that the Shalol Lishma removes the Din Ritzui, which means it undermines the whole purpose of the carbon for which the Bailam will chayav to bring this carbon in order to achieve Ritzui. And then you're telling me the carbon is kosher? If there was such a jarring experience in the life of this carbon, something so catastrophic happened that it can no longer generate a Ritzui, that must mean that the impact on the carbon is to generate a psul. The Od, now he has a third interpretation of Reish Lakish, the Sfirle Reish Lakish. The efshal lechalik is hechsher a carbon midin ritzui shalo. Okay, this is a little bit more abstract. He says in the third approach that there are two aspects of every carbon. There's the hechsher a carbon and there's the ritzui a carbon. And Reish Lakish identifies the two. Ritzui a carbon equals the hechsher a carbon, and hechsher a carbon equals the ritzui a carbon. And if the Torah is telling us now, which the Gemara derives from Sukkim, that a machsheva shalo lishma removes the ritzui, then by definition, since I equate ritzui with the hechsher karbon, the karbon no longer has a hechsher. Again, the last two interpretations are radically different than the first. They're very similar. Two and three, I think, are very similar. There's a nuance, I think, of a difference between two and three. Let's just go over it. Two is telling us that the purpose of the carbon and the chiyuv of the carbon was to achieve ritzui. If something so drastic took place of a shalol lishma machshava that now it can no longer achieve ritzui, that should be a posel of the carbon. The third approach is very similar to the second approach, in which Reish Lakish identified two concepts. Number one, the hechsher a carbon, and number two, the ritzui of carbon. If there's no ritzui, then there's no hechsher.
Oh.
Now, in the next paragraph, how are we doing on the clock? We have another minute?
Exactly.
Okay, so I'm just going to tell you this. What we have to do now is see how, in the light of these various possibilities of how to understand Reish Lakish, and we'll try to have even a more profound understanding of the differences between the three, we can go on now and piece together all the sugyas. The sugya of Reish Lakish, the sugya of Rav Sheshes, the sugya of Rav. And that starts with the paragraph Vehine, but again, here you have to know it's the first Vehine on the page, okay? Because there's only one Vehine on the page. So don't tell me do not, because this is not. And this is going to take us to pages Samach and Samach Al. So if you take advantage of buying the Sefer, you don't need me to photocopy, but if you do need photocopies, please use this Sefer. And I will personally escort you to the photocopy machine, and you'll have to figure out how it works, or if it works, and you'll make the copies on Samach and Samach. Take this opportunity to wish everyone a wonderful day, and I hope...